So there's one Chinese friend of Ling Rinpoche who actually was painting, who was a painter. Not exactly a painter, but a commenter, and also then painting the table. So once to Ling Rinpoche, so Rinpoche felt like inviting him to request him actually to paint his table. So when Rinpoche went there, so he saw the Chinese carpenter actually sitting so sadly and holding a broken cup of old cup. So when he inquired as to what has happened, so it was because that very morning, so this Chinese, he felt so angry that he threw the cup, and then when his anger subsided, he felt so regretted, and then holding the broken pieces of the cup, and then being very much overwhelmed, remaining so overwhelmed and sad holding it. So while he was actually holding the broken cup and then feeling so sad, so there actually he has generated a valid mind, understanding the reality. And whereas in the morning when he was angry and throwing the cup and breaking it, so there actually that was done based on the invalid or mistaken mind. And then so we see that, so to continue with what His Holiness said earlier, so at times when you are very depressed, so when you think of bodhicitta, it will simply let you make your mind more light and more elated. And whereas when you feel conceited or arrogant, then this bodhicitta will subside or calm down your mind. And similarly, if you reflect on emptiness, or even at the level of mere gross level of understanding of emptiness, again, it would have tremendous benefit to oneself. So likewise, if you think of the law of causality, of law of karma, so at times when you are caught up in a great sad and tragic situation, such a great adversity, so you see that as long as you have accumulated that very negative karma, so this is the only thing that you have to experience. As such, this karma cannot be evaded, cannot be warded off. So that way, you'll feel consoled and you'll feel calmed down. And again, if you can have a profound understanding of the third kind of suffering, that is the conditioned suffering, so you'll realize that as long as you are under the control of the ignorance, so as long as you are under the control of ignorance, so these sufferings are bound to occur. So as such, you simply say that these are something, a natural process occurring. As long as you are unable to eradicate ignorance. So actually, these things are what I'm speaking about in terms of the very peripheral or the superficial experience of those experiences. And then there is true understanding, at least at the some level, superficial or superfluous level of understanding of emptiness, you can then infer that if you can promote that, if you can advance that understanding, it can possibly lead you to the state of direct perception of emptiness. So thereby, you can actually have an inkling, have a kind of understanding of the direct perception of emptiness that those great arahats or the superior beings have. And likewise, if you can really reflect on the kind of bodhicitta, however superficial it is, and then you can infer that it can gradually be transformed into something naturally arising bodhicitta, then you can then kind of really infer that how more beneficial and effective that would be for one if you can generate a naturally, spontaneously existing or arising bodhicitta. As such, by way of reflecting on these four different valid valid agents or valid factors, you can then possibly establish the the existence of a Buddha, which is endowed with four different bodies. So, and on top of that, if you can add the presentations are presented by the highest yoga tantra, then you can definitely gain a very strong conviction and faith in the existence of a Buddha, which is endowed with the four bodies of the Buddha. So that way, actually, you can establish, you can have a very strong, a firm ground to understand the source of refuge, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And if you can arrive at such a understanding of the source of the refuge, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, then if you say, I take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, it would make total sense. So through reflecting on the concept of dependent origination, when you're able to ascertain the concept of the cessation of delusions and their respective contaminant karmas, by way of achieving the path which understands emptiness and these things. So there, you can actually understand the existence of the Sangha. And then that Sangha, that person who is categorized as a Sangha, through still further advancement in his qualities of cessation and realization, he or she then achieves the state of Buddhahood. So that is the jewel of Buddha. The text reads, depending on them, the objects to which to go for refuge. Identifying the objects of refuge. In a praise in 150 verses, it says, to one in whom perpetually all faults are definitely absent, to one in whom in every manner all good qualities abide, if someone like that exists, it is fit to go for refuge to him, to praise him, to attend to him, to abide in what he teaches. So next is the actual reasons as to why these three become the source of refuge. So primarily it is because the Buddha is someone who is endowed with such a great overflowing compassion towards all sentient beings, as if like a mother having an incredibly powerful compassion towards towards her only child. So that person, enthused by such powerful compassion, overflowing compassion, so he then proceeded first of all eradicate all the obscurations which possibly obscures him from being successful in benefiting all other sentient beings. So that way, so he finds that the only action that he is to do is only to benefit other sentient beings and nothing else. So that way, you can actually establish the possibility of the Buddha and why we see that we should take refuge in Buddha, who is actually compassionate towards all other beings, and finding that whatever he is to do, it is just for the benefit, or for to work for the welfare of other beings. So how famous is Dignaga, the Indian master in the Chinese tradition, Chinese Buddhist tradition? Do you find any mention of Dignaga in the Chinese literature? Yes, the answer is yes. So about the concept of logic and epistemology. So Dignaga, in his compendium of valid cognition, he said that he praised the Buddha Shakyamuni by saying that, oh, you are the absolutely reliable being, because you are being enthused by the overflowing compassion towards all sentient beings. And then he further went saying that, enthused by this incomparable wisdom, he went on to explore, to eradicate this ignorance which traps all sentient beings, And then, having abandoned that very ignorance which traps himself, himself in samsara, and which traps himself in samsara, and also inducing the or being the cause for him not to achieve the state of omniscience. So then he said that, Buddha Shakyamuni, you have abandoned all these obscurations and having achieved the state of cessation, and then you are actually endowed with that power to protect all other sentient beings. So actually he kind of cited four different series of reasonings to prove that Buddha Shakyamuni, you are actually that highly reliable, incomparably reliable person as a source of refuge for those people who are desirous of achieving liberation. So that way, Dignaga praised Buddha Shakyamuni. And also, the Arya Chandrakirti, and also by Nagarjuna, in his rude wisdom, he said that you, the Buddha, who is enthused by great compassion, and then if you look at the text supplement to the Middle Way by Chandrakirti, you also mention how Chandrakirti praised the Buddha who is being enthused because of being enthused by the great compassion. So in all these salutations, the words of salutations by the great masters, you will constantly find how they praise the great compassion and how they praise the Buddha as someone who has perfected the state of exalted compassion. So this quality of compassion, the incomparable compassion that Buddhists possess, are actually the very source by which we can feel tremendous reliance, tremendous confidence in the Buddha, that it would make sense if we take refuge in the Buddha. And it is because of this that Nagarjuna is then made to say in the precious garland that for somebody who is really having a keen interest in taking refuge in the Buddha, should be someone taking keen interest in the three agents or the three factors. They are the factor of great compassion, and the factor of the bodhicitta, and a factor of wisdom which understands the emptiness and dependent origination. So as such, all of us from my side also, I've been trying my best to practice the wisdom of emptiness, great compassion, and bodhicitta, so I can really feel the immense, immediate benefit of practicing these. So even if there is no future life, still I have no regret, because these meditations really help keep me so happy. And if there is